Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I pray that you will not touch that dial once again today. We're so glad to be back with you like we are every Tuesday, 2 p.m. right here on WMAF. And if you're driving the interstate, we pray that you will just stay tuned to this station for just a little while. We have something very important to bring you from the Word of God today. What a joy it is to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world with such crisis all around the world and in all of our lives. There seems to be this looming cloud of uncertainty over the future, economically and politically and militarily and ecologically. I mean, everywhere you turn, there is some kind of crisis situation going on. I'm happy today to be a proclaimer of good news in a world so filled with bad news. We're so privileged to be called to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. So if you'll just stay tuned, I believe you're going to hear something today from God's eternal word that is going to lift you up, give you courage, give you strength to face life in all of the realities that we must face with a real faith, a tangible faith in a very tangible God today. Hallelujah. So please don't touch that dial. Stay tuned. We are so grateful to be ministering in North Florida in Madison. And we're so grateful for this radio station because they are on the World Wide Web. This gospel goes to places we would have never dreamed. And we're grateful for you who are becoming part of our listening audience worldwide, all over the United States and anywhere in the world. We are grateful that you have tuned to this station, and through tuning to this station, allowing this broadcast to be part of your devotional life. Now listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray you will stay tuned for a little while today. God's intent in sending His Son into this world is very clearly delineated in the Word of God. Jesus said, "I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved." He came here, friend, on a rescue mission. They used to sing, I think the Salvation Army used to sing that great old hymn, "Rescue the Perishing," in their meetings. So, folks, we just want you to know that there's a God who loves you, who is willing to reach way down to where you are to save you today if you don't know Him as your Savior. So please stay tuned today. God has a wonderful message from the book of Revelation, in fact. We're going to talk in just a few moments about the white stone, the promise of privilege and intimacy with God. Amen. The white stone out of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. Praise God. Amen. Before we go to that scripture and this Bible study, I just want to invite you to come to our webpage once again. If you will type in on a good search engine, preferably Google, which many consider to be the biggest and the best, it will take you on the very first page that comes up. You won't have to search long to find us. THCOG. There will be another Holy Church of God in Texas. That's not us. We're in Florida, in Tampa, as a matter of fact. And my name is Reverend Robert A. Venable. It will simply say, "Welcome to the Holy Church of God." And you just click on that. And we have been in Tampa ministering as pastor for going on 36 years. January will be our 36th year of pastoral ministry in the city of Tampa. And so we're so grateful that God has allowed us to do this for all this time and is still giving me the unction in my heart and my life to declare His gospel. I want to do it till I draw my last breath. Praise God. Amen. Someone said old preachers don't retire, they just refire. Praise God. Well, I feel like refiring, not retiring from the gospel ministry. So please stay tuned today and visit us if if you will. There's no strings attached, no letter, no, we don't get your IP address. Nothing happens there except you can enter in to our website. There's a statement of faith. You can see our my wife's pretty face and my ugly mug there. And you can download sermons that have been anointed of the Holy Spirit, free, no copyright infringement. You can, hey, preacher, if you want to download something, you get a thought from it, you put your own personal things on it and preach it, you're welcome to. Praise God. This is God's Word through His anointing. It's not my stuff. This is God's stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. So, with no further ado, we're going to talk about the white stone. The promises to the overcomer in the book of Revelation are so powerful and so wonderful, amen, that we want you to have an incentive today, if you're a Christian, to overcome. And we want you to know, if you're not a Christian, just what God offers you in Jesus Christ today. Listen to this very carefully. Here's what Jesus promised to the church of Pergamum. Listen, he that hath an ear, Revelation 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And I made a statement last week for review, I'm going to make it again, of all the promises to the overcomer in the Bible, the promise of the white stone with a new name written is probably the most mysterious and spectacular of all. This promise was given to those who overcome at the church of Pergamos. And last week, we didn't even get to the white stone part of this message. We started talking about the hidden manna that he promised to give us and how that applies to our life. Now, today, we're going to go past the provision and go into the privilege of the white stone. There is great privilege in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I will give him a white stone. Literally, a perfect, intimate standing with God. The Lord promises to give his faithful ones a white stone. This does not mean much to us, but it held special meaning to the people of that day. There are several possible meanings attached to the white stone. I want to point out a few that speak to us directly. White and black stones were used in that day to indicate judgment in ancient courts of law. When a judge rendered his verdict, he would place a stone in a container, and at the appropriate time, he would roll the stone out, thus rendering his judgment. A black stone indicated a judgment of guilt, while a white stone indicated a judgment of innocence. Jesus is literally telling these people that they might be blackballed by the world, but they were innocent in his eyes. He had taken all the black stones that were against them and had washed them white in his own precious blood. Friend of mine, you may have done things today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you may have done things today that you cannot undo, you cannot make up for. You can be sorry, you can ask forgiveness, but you can't change the past. And there will be people who will forgive you and people who will not. But I'm going to tell you something, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ today. And it is so spectacular and wonderful that every sin that we've ever committed can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. God is not looking over it. He's simply forgiving us for Christ's sake, because he took our punishment and our sin upon himself on the cross. No wonder the gospel is such good news. I think it was Carl Menninger who said, if I could convince all the people that I talk to in mental institutions, all the people under my care for psychological problems to the degree that extreme degree that they are institutionalized, if I could convince them that they were forgiven, in other words, if this issue of guilt could be taken care of completely, he said, I suppose 75 80% of those people that are mentally in such mental torment and conflict, they could walk out of those institutions. Isn't it amazing what is offered here in the White Stone? God forgives and God forgets that we might be declared not guilty before Him. And you know what that means if God forgives us, friend? That means we can forgive ourselves. That means that we can go on past our past. Praise the Lord. We can never stand sinless in and of ourselves before our holy God, but we can stand forgiven. I want to say that again. We can never, and that means all of us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can never stand sinless in and of ourselves before our holy God, but we can stand forgiven. Praise the Lord. We cannot stand in our own righteousness, but we can stand in His. We cannot deny our guilt to our accuser, the devil, but we can declare our acquittal by heaven's judge. Oh, friend, this is so good. Hallelujah. To be given a white stone because God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven us. What a privilege it will be to have Christ Himself give us a white stone, declaring us innocent for all eternity. Years ago, we sang, "There's a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine, and it's mine." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a perfect standing with God through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to declare that to you today. There's another aspect to this victory. Because we have a perfect standing with God through the white stone, representative of that and a token of that, we have victory and access. Others suppose there's an allusion here to the conquerors in the public games who were not only conducted with great pomp into the city which they belong, but had a white stone given to them. One prophecy teacher, I think it was Perry Stone, said it was like giving them the key to the city with their name inscribed on it, which badge entitled them through their whole life to be maintained at the public expense. Just imagine that. They were called tesserae among the Romans, and of these were several kinds. Clark, the great Bible commentator, then gives examples of the different kinds. Tesserae convivialis, which answered exactly to cards, our cards of invitation. If you're sending out invitations to a wedding, a party, a reception, that's what that invitation invited them to. It was like an invitation or tickets of admission to a public feast or banquet. When the person invited produced this tessera, he was admitted. You know what? We're going to produce a white stone that's going to be given us. It's going to be the key to the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Praise God. We won't be able to convince St. Peter at the Golden Gate that we're worthy of entering those gates. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for God's own righteousness that we have received through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all sin is the password that gets us in to the holy city. Praise God. Because we are forgiven and declared righteous, we can enter the holy city, drink from the river of life, eat from the tree of life, and live forever with God. Hallelujah. What a blessed, privileged people that we are simply by receiving Christ as our personal Savior. We will be God's special guest at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Christ Himself will validate our invitation. Praise the Lord. We have great privilege as children of God today. We are truly the regal and the rich of this world. And it really has nothing to do with our bank account, the clothes we wear, the type of watch we have on our wrist. It has to do with our standing before God. You know, at the foot of the cross, there's no rich man, no poor man, no prisoner, no free man, no male or female, no large or small, no influential or inconsequential. When we stand at the foot of that old rugged cross, we stand on a common ground. We are collectively, amen, the redeemed of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, let the redeemed say so. And I love declaring my standing with God through Jesus Christ. It is in effect pleading all of the merits of the finished work of Jesus on the cross through His precious blood. Praise the Lord. We not only have privilege, dear friend, we have intimacy, a new designation. Jesus promised His overcomers that their white stone would contain a new name, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. This is a promise of intimacy. It was customary in that day for guests at a dinner to have a white stone placed at their seat. When they were seated, they would look at the stone, and underneath would be a private message from the host. It was a way for the host to share an intimate thought with each guest. Jesus promised a new name written, which no man knoweth except him that receiveth it. We mentioned that song before a few years ago. We used to sing, there's a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels tell the story. A sinner has come home. The third thing Jesus gives us is a new name. A name expresses identity. To the overcomer in Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia, not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, praise God, but the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, Jesus promises to write on him three names, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, and the New Jerusalem, and my new name, Revelation 3:12. The identity of the believers lies in God, in Jesus, and in the New Jerusalem. It does not lie in Pergamum, in Asia, or in Rome. They are God's people, not Rome's people, not Asia's people, not Pergamum's people. They are given a new name. Remember how God changes people? Abram becomes Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. Jacob becomes Israel. Saul becomes Paul. When God changes us, God changes everything about us. God begins to do that wonderful transformation process from the inside out. Oh, if you think you got to change yourself, you are badly, grossly misinformed. You receive Jesus, as the song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. God invites you to come to Christ today, just like you are. You say, Pastor, I'm an addict and I can't shake this, and I'm not going to play a church game. I am what I am. God knows what you are, and friend, He loves you. He doesn't condone your sin. The wonderful thing about God is He can love the sinner without accepting in any way the sin in our life. He knows the destructive power and force of sin, not only in this world, but throughout all eternity, the consequences of unrepented sin. But He invites you to come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to have your sins forgiven. God wants to give you a white stone today, amen, in terms of forgiving you, acquitting you of every sin you've ever committed. And then He wants, because you have given Him access to your heart and life, to change you from the inside out and give you a new name, because you have a new life. Praise God. God begins to shape us into a new image. The white stone that we are given, and the bread of life that we are given in the new name, and the new name that we are given as those who are overcoming, promise eternal life. There is the promised name that no one else knows, literally here. It's mysterious. It promises an intimate and personal relationship with God, who knows us, knows everything about us, knows every thought, every problem, every burden, knows every struggle. That God calls us by name and simply says, my child, I love you. Oh, friend of mine, no one else may seem to love you today. God loves you, and He calls you to salvation. He desires that you become His for eternity. We have a new identity. We are now associated with the holiest of persons and the holiest of places. According to Lehman Senna, African theologist at Yale, the Bantus of South Africa, have a saying, Umuntu. I don't think I can say their Syrian. I'm going to try it anyway. You're good people. You will be gracious to me. Umuntu, Nagamuntu, Negabantu. A person is a person because of other persons. We are born into a relationship. We grow and live in relationship, and we die in relationship as Christians. In the modern Western notion of personal independence and autonomy distorts the truth about us to the question of who are you? The African would answer, I'm my mother's and father's child of the family of blank, of the tribe of blank. That would be filled in by the person. By which time the impatient American has moved to other matters. Isn't it interesting that the Bible is full of such genealogical passages? There are begats all over the place. Even Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, Emmanuel, gets placed in a family tree. Your faith isn't just about you and God. It connects you to a whole line of people, parents and grandparents and beyond, a family tree that goes all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. Faith connects us with others, gives us a name and an identity and a people through which we can hear God's call. We belong to the family of God. God knows, of God that knows our name, our real name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next, the white stone has with a new name written on it. White stones could be used in this time period like a ticket of admission. If the name was written on it, it was like an airline ticket. No one else could use it. It was non-transferable. But there's more than that, for Jesus said no one else knows this name. The name is between Jesus and each overcomer. It's an intimate name. Jesus knows you like no one else, friend. And He gives you His own name of endearment. Finally, note that this is a new name. Jesus doesn't look inside you and see who you are and describe you with a name. He can do that, but He does more. He changes your character into His. So He gives you a new name consistent with that transformed character. Praise God. I don't know what you were called before, but I know that God is calling you something different now. Amen. You were called a sinner before. God called you a saint. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, and I know, and God knows that we are not sinlessly perfect in that sense of sainthood. But we are accepted in the Beloved. We are counted righteous because we have put faith in the finished work of Jesus at the cross. And every blood-bought, born-again child of God is called a saint of God in the New Testament. These verses allude to Isaiah 62, 2 and 4. Listen to this. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, for your land will no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. Praise God. You know what's going to happen when we get to heaven? When all of us that have trusted Christ, amen, when we all get to heaven, not what a day of rejoicing that will be, true, but when we all get to heaven, there's going to be something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. It is going to be the consummation of all that Jesus has done for us through His suffering and His bleeding and His tortured death at that old rugged cross. We're going to sit down to the marriage supper. And I'm telling you, this is a forever marriage. This is eternal. No looking back, no going back, but only the bliss and joy of heaven and the reunion with loved ones forever and forever. That's what we are called to when we are called to repent of our sin and believe upon Jesus Christ as our Savior. An old Roman practice also was called tessera hospitalis. It was a custom in those days that when two friends were about to part, they would divide a stone in half. Each friend would inscribe on it his or her name on one of the halves and give it to the other. It became a symbol of their friendship and of the promise to stay friends as long as the stone lasted. Jesus promises this eternal and intimate friendship to you. Your name written on His half, His name written on yours. It's your new name that He writes on His half. He knows your name, your true identity in Him, and it's written on His heart forever. Hallelujah. Friend, I when I began to study the white stone with all of its mysteries and all of its possible interpretations, I still see so very clearly up front a profound truth that we in and of ourselves are in no way going to achieve a righteousness to the degree that it would be necessary to be accepted of God, to have access to that holy heavenly city, that before all the jewels and bejeweled foundations and gates of pearl, that city is more than just a rich place in terms of the beauty and the grandeur and the costliness of the transparent streets of gold. Amen. That city is a holy, holy, holy place. I've said it before, going to say it again before we end this broadcast today. I believe what is going to strike us most, be the most striking thing about heaven when we get there as God's children, will not be the gate that we pass through that is carved of a solid pearl. When we see the city at a distance and we see the brightness and the glory of the heavenly new Jerusalem, literally illuminated, where there's not even a shadow anywhere, by the glory of God, and all of that light shining through foundations of precious stones. Amen. And when we get into that city and walk down a street of solid, transparent gold, hallelujah, pure, purer than pure, we will not be taken by all of that initially. There's going to be a sense of holiness beyond anything that we have ever imagined. And the most striking thing initially will be that we really are not worthy of walking in this holy place and talking to these holy ones. And yet, here we are. It's going to literally bowl us over, blow us away. But God has invited us to His holy presence, His holy people, His holy city. That's the amazing thing about grace today. If you don't know Jesus today, God will give you a white stone. He will give you a righteous standing, Christ's own righteousness, God's own righteousness. He will forgive your sin. He will save your soul. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That's how much God loves you today. That's how deeply He cares for you and how much He wants to forgive you and save you today. Say, friend, if I wasn't a Christian reading what I'm reading to you right now, I would want to run to God, not run from God. I would not want to run back into the sins that are so destructive that I left so far behind. I would want to cleave and cling to the old rugged cross. Listen, we love you today. If you don't know Jesus, and you have listened to this point in this message, one thing I am absolutely convinced of, The Holy Spirit is right there where you are right now. And Christ Himself is knocking at the door of your heart. And He's calling you by name. He knows you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you and save you. And I'm going to ask you to do something in these closing seconds. I'm going to ask you to invite Him in. I'm going to ask you to tell Him, "Lord, I'm sorry that I've sinned against You. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I choose to follow You the rest of my life with Your help and grace." And God will give you today a white stone. Hallelujah. We love you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.